Good morning and welcome to Simply Finance. It's Wednesday, April 24th. On today's show, LFDE finalizes tie-up with Tocqueville Finance, and a research fellow discusses climate finance, Jesse integration, and capacity development. Plus, a finance expert reveals a mindset hack for getting rich. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Finance. We start off with some financial news. La Financière de l'Échiquier, also known as LFDE, has completed its merger with Tocqueville Finance, the equity management subsidiary of La Banque Postale Asset Management, or LBPAM. This deal comes after LBPAM acquired LFDE in July of this year. A group spokesperson says the merger marks the emergence of a European leader in conviction management. Here with more details is our correspondent. What can you tell us about the combined entity resulting from this merger?
The merger brings together two significant players in the European asset management space. The combined entity now manages around 27 billion euros in assets and boasts a management team of 55 managers and analysts. LFDE has stated that it wants to focus on conviction management, particularly in the area of European equities. Conviction management refers to an investment strategy where portfolio managers build concentrated portfolios of their highest conviction ideas, rather than closely tracking a benchmark index.
And what is the significance of this merger in the broader context of the European asset management industry?
This merger is notable given the ongoing consolidation trend in the asset management industry, both in Europe and globally. Asset managers are seeking to build scale in order to invest in technology, navigate an increasingly complex regulatory environment, and remain competitive on fees. The fact that a major French postal bank like La Banque Postale has backed this merger also highlights the growing importance of the asset management business for banking groups more broadly.
Do we have any sense of how this merger might impact the investment strategies or offerings of the combined entity?
It's still early days, but LFDE has clearly signaled that conviction management will be a key area of focus, especially for European equities. This suggests that we may see the launch of new concentrated, high-conviction equity funds in the coming months. More broadly, the increased scale and resources of the combined entity could allow for investments in areas like ESG research, quantitative analysis capabilities, or expansion into new geographic markets. But the full implications will likely become clearer as the integration process moves forward.
Thank you for those insights on the merger of La Financière de l'Échiquier and Tocqueville Finance and its potential impact on the European asset management landscape. Shifting our focus to sustainability and finance, the Stockholm Environment Institute's Asia office in Bangkok is seeking a research fellow to contribute to innovative climate finance and social equity projects in the Asia-Pacific region. The Center for Finance for Sustainability Bangkok, or CFSB, works with the private sector and financial hubs to align the region's financial sector more closely with global sustainability goals. For more details on this impactful role, we turn to our correspondent. What can you tell us about the responsibilities of this research fellow position?
The research fellow will play an integral role in CFSB's Inclusive Climate Finance for Communities in the Asia-Pacific project, known as ECAP. This large-scale initiative brings together private financial service providers and public sector actors to develop equitable financial instruments and systems. These are aimed at financing climate adaptation solutions for vulnerable communities across the region. The research fellow will lead the development and delivery of social inclusion, equity, and gender capacity building programs with an emphasis on innovative approaches to inclusive climate finance.
It sounds like this role involves a lot of collaboration with various stakeholders. Can you elaborate on that aspect?
Absolutely. The research fellow will work closely with consortium partners, policymakers, financial service providers, and local communities to mainstream gender equality and social inclusion principles. This includes guiding partners and SEI staff in understanding and applying these principles, particularly in climate and sustainable finance projects related to adaptation. Mentoring and coaching will be key to translating the principles into practical research and application.
What kind of capacity development will the research fellow be responsible for designing and leading?
The role involves designing and spearheading capacity development processes, including peer-to-peer-based training. The research fellow will draw on best practices in adult learning and empowering feminist approaches to build this capacity, facilitating the bridging of science, policy, and practice in areas of social equity, gender, climate justice, inclusive climate finance, human rights, climate change, and adaptation will all be part of the job.
It certainly sounds like an impactful and multifaceted position. Do you have any other key details to share about this research fellow role at SEI Asia?
One important thing to note is that the research fellow will report directly to the director of the Center for Finance for Sustainability Bangkok. CFSB was just launched in 2022, so this is an opportunity to contribute to a relatively new initiative that is working on critical issues of climate adaptation finance and finance for development in the dynamic Asia-Pacific region. It's a hands-on role that requires inspiring commitment to gender equality and social inclusion principles among a range of stakeholders.
Thanks for sharing that unique research fellow opportunity at the Stockholm Environment Institute's Asia office. For more details, visit the SEI website. Now, shifting gears to personal finance, a personal finance expert is making waves after claiming he discovered a simple mindset hack that helped him amass a $1 million fortune by age 30, all while buying a house and having two kids. The expert, Brennan Schlagbaum, says this mental shift can help anyone get rich, even on a modest income. For more, we turn to our personal finance correspondent. So tell us, how did Schlagbaum go from a self-described broke college student to a young millionaire?
Well, David, Schlagbaum says he worked extremely hard as a teenager, taking any job he could find, from fast food to construction. By the time he started college, he had saved up around $10,000. However, despite having some savings, he soon found himself saddled with growing student loan debt. It wasn't until age 23 that Schlagbaum had what he calls a breakthrough in his financial mindset. While he doesn't go into specifics, this change in outlook apparently made all the difference. Within just 7 years, Schlagbaum says he paid off his student loans entirely and watched his net worth soar past the $1 million mark.
That's quite a turnaround. But Schlagbaum insists this wasn't due to a high-paying job or some lucky windfall. He claims it really boils down to this mindset hack that he says anyone can adopt.
That's right. Schlagbaum is adamant that the path to riches is open to all, regardless of their current income, employment, or savings. He says it's really just a matter of changing the way you think about money and wealth building. Now, the article doesn't provide much detail on what this mindset hack actually entails, but Schlagbaum seems to believe it was the key factor that took him from drowning in debt to being a millionaire before his 30th birthday.
Easier said than done for most, I would imagine. Building serious wealth usually requires more than a change in attitude. What's your take? Is there really a mental shortcut to getting rich?
Honestly, David, while a positive money mindset is important, I'd be cautious about claiming there's any one hack that guarantees wealth, especially without knowing the details. Schlagbaum's story is impressive, but there are likely many factors beyond mindset that contributed to his financial success. Things like his specific career path, the economic conditions during this period, his ability to buy real estate, and more. For most people, building wealth is a gradual process that requires discipline, sound financial habits, and smart long-term investing. Vague talk of mindset hacks feels a bit overly simplistic.
Agreed. This sounds like a classic case of if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Getting rich is rarely as simple as shifting your attitude, especially for those without much income or savings to start with. While Schlagbaum's accomplishments are commendable, his advice seems to gloss over the very real challenges and systemic barriers many face in building wealth. Hopefully, he'll share more concrete, accessible tips in the future. Thank you for your insights, Bella. Now, as businesses navigate economic uncertainties and market volatility, many are turning to consumer financing solutions to build trust and loyalty with customers. Here to discuss this further is our Simply Finance correspondent. So tell us, How are consumer financing options helping businesses adapt in the current environment?
Consumer financing is proving to be a powerful tool for businesses looking to support their customers' evolving needs and budgets. By offering personalized and flexible financing options, businesses can enable customers to explore a full range of products and services without impacting their credit scores. This helps build trust and loyalty between the business and consumer, ultimately boosting conversion rates.
And what role is technology playing in delivering these consumer financing solutions?
Technology is absolutely critical. Companies like Versatile Credit are integrating with industry-leading platforms and incorporating cutting-edge tools for identity verification and security. The goal is to embed financing options that align with businesses' existing processes and needs. This not only enhances the customer experience, but also drives operational efficiencies for the business.
It sounds like there's a real focus on tailoring solutions to each business. Can you expand on that?
Absolutely. Consumer financing providers are working closely with merchants to understand their unique requirements and workflows. The objective is to deploy customized solutions that complement the business's operations and maximize adoption and success. By leveraging the merchant's existing technologies and processes, financing can be seamlessly embedded to optimize the experience for shoppers and staff.
And are there opportunities for banks and lenders in this space as well?
Yes, some providers like Versatile Credit are white labeling their technology to banks and lenders. This allows those financial institutions to capitalize on emerging opportunities and offer innovative financing solutions to their customers without deviating from their core business. It's a way for them to quickly enter new markets and verticals by leveraging the established expertise and technology of a consumer financing partner.
As economic uncertainty persists, it's clear that strategic partnerships and agile technology will be key for businesses looking to meet the evolving needs of consumers. Thanks for those insights. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Finance. We'll see you back here tomorrow.